Log Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blow your mouth.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding
it's
me.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
I will kick that machine's butt later. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not adjust your internet. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and you just heard a piece of history. Nearly 9 years ago, we had a similar incident to what has essentially obliterated the internet when a group of ECW individuals decided to make the tried to make the invasion a three-way dance. But what we have now is a good long week of what just happened. So, let me introduce the panel for tonight. I seem to be a man short, but so am I. I'm short. Anyway, from the up north side, we have Mr. Jim Williams.
I have to say this. After that one epic episode of Jerry Springer, Justin Roberts definitely was primed to get a beatdown. Acting! Yes.
And on the other side of the panel here, and I forget where you're from, sir, and I apologize because it has been so long since you've been on the show. You're now our third, even though we know you well as fourth.
Well, let's hope this week my Simpsons references don't go, because I think that probably was a little too obscure. So I'll try to keep them a little less so this week, if any.
Well, most of them are going to go over my head. I hate to say it. I'm not a Simpsons fan, so I apologize. I'm not no-selling you.
Go.
So, the rules have slightly changed when it comes to the North American Wrestling Connection, Mr. Forth. Just so you know, we don't do recaps, although admittedly, WWE has done such a wonderful job recapping 10 minutes that has really shaken up the WWE landscape. The invasion of the NXT rookies, which led to an early teardown, the breaking of the B-card rule, some epic, epic acting that Jim referred to when it came to Justin Roberts. By the way, that got edited out of later repeats. And the joyous celebration of the entire IWC as Bryan Danielson kicked in John Cena's head.
Tell you this. I love the whole thing because it wasn't just like they beat like a few people up. It was literally obliteration. They tore apart everything.
They tore the canvas off the ring, for goodness sakes.
I think they even tore part of the guardrail.
They broke the guardrails. They took down a ring rope. They unlaced the canvas so that you could see the padding and the wood panels underneath.
Yes.
They threw their chairs around the up end of the announce table so you could see how it was wired. At least two WWE security guards were taken out. The one that tried to save Justin Roberts, Sergeant Jimmy, and I'm trying to figure out which Jimmy got beat up by two of the guys early in the fracas, something else that had been edited out of later iterations of this 10 minutes. The subsequent carnage, as I said, these guys did this with, you know, no commentary since Matt Stryker was unconscious, King was under the announce table, and
Cole ran for his life.
Right, he was in the bathroom changing his pants.
About that, about I'm honestly hoping this doesn't lead to, like, Cole being involved in any way, because even though, you know, he's probably going to end up being a face if Brian gets involved with him, it would definitely kind of be a letdown, you know, that it just wouldn't feel quite right to me.
Having Cole run it really wouldn't, just, you know, doesn't really pop for me. I would like to see the NXT group to be a cohesive, independent unit under the dear auspices of Mr. Wade Barrett. Now, Jim, with the what you've seen of the fracas, would this be a good way to do it, or do you think they would still need a pro or established figurehead?
I don't think they need an established figurehead. It kind of gives me, you referenced, like you asked me for with the Open, the ECW three-way dance kind of thing when it was WWF, WCW and ECW in that whole invasion thing. It seems like more like a young New World Order to me. And that's what I think the WWE needs to kind of mix things up a little bit. And I think Wade Barrett with co-pilot Mr. Daniel Bryan, because, you know, he's got cred, it would be something different. I don't think they need a big name. They don't need a big name, and a big name might hurt them, if anything.
Fourth, you
to
agree?
Be honest, I agree. I think that the way that TNA has kind of done the whole advisor deal with Flair and with Hogan is something that would leave a bitter taste with everyone, because then they'll think, okay, this guy's just trying to make them more like him. You know, they need to stand on their own. They need to be their own people.
Well, yeah, like the concept, oh, he's going to be the next Ric Flair. He is the anointed next Nature Boy Ric Flair. You know, he's the next Hulk Hogan, that kind of thing. People don't buy that anymore. People don't buy that. It worked in the 80s. It doesn't work now.
And I think it goes to the line. There's a line that I've heard a couple of places, and the most recent version of I've heard is, I don't want to be the next Shawn Michaels. I want to be the first Chris Jericho.
There you go.
And that's what these NXT guys are going to do.
They are certainly more than wild and young. Let's just say that right now.
And just go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, in all seriousness, they need. For now, I would say they should go without any music and then come up with something good for them, because the NXT music, I think, kind of takes it away from the context. You know, like the NWO using some sort of Benny Hill sounding music just doesn't fit.
Well, the one night that they completely trashed Monday Nitro, you could make a case for it if you put it on fast forward, but yeah, your point is well taken.
Well, you need to get rid of that piece of earworm music and get something a little more intense and hungry.
Jim Johnson, line one.
No. Is Saliva Board, do they need to get another song?
I don't know if we should necessarily go that route as Saliva or Nickelback, because I honestly think they've used that stuff entirely too much. You know, I think, to be honest, one of my favorite entrance songs is Rider, because his fits the character more than if they got some sort of, like, a metal sound.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go underground. They, you know, go from what they are, internet-based. Go with something only internet marks would know, quote-unquote, perhaps. Something less established than...
Don't open, too.
There you go.
No, that wouldn't work, because none of them have established music except Barrett, who never got it, and I'm sorry, man.
No, Barrett did get his theme, I thought. They played it, like, once.
Did they?
Yeah, they played it, I think, one time on NXT. Not the last week, I think the next to last week. They only got played once, so it was... That's the biggest waste of a win I've ever seen.
I was going to say, now, wait a minute, I was at the second-to-last show, and I don't remember that.
Well, I don't remember which week exactly, but it was one of the last couple of weeks they just played it once. During the I don't remember when, but I know I heard something slightly different when he came out.
But it just, you know, I just felt bad for him. I mean, because every time I saw him, he would come out to the earworm and...
Oh! Oh, hell no!
He has a stuttering problem. It's okay.
I didn't think I could make the board stutter.
That's okay. It's before much longer, it'll be like Dusty Rhodes. Can fuck it like a monkey, pull it if you will.
Now I'm just getting the whole image of, like, the whole stuttering wrestler, like, with Morgan's unfortunate last few months in WWE and getting Swagger in my head. So can we just avoid all that stuff for the time being?
Yes. No problem.
Thank
you. Quite welcome.
All right, let me see if I can... it looks like I'm going to have... I'm going to have to make a replacement. DJ, doggone it, I don't know where you went. I don't know where you went, but you are not showing up.
He's getting legit crowd heat, as they say in the biz.
Yeah, and that's pretty darn hard to do when you're not here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I know the sound I was actually looking for. I think.
Better not be the one I'm thinking of.
Well, no. I'm
gonna make you a little bit busy, but we won't go there.
Well, to say that, this 10 minutes of infamy overshadowed 2 hours and 50 minutes of Cyber Monday.
Gone to hell.
It's just completely blown to hell. Nobody's discussing it.
And I'll discuss one thing about it, if I may. I think there was something different with the voting process within the show. Because I actually voted because I'm a mark. No, because I have no life. So I voted the first time for the first thing. I don't even remember what it was, and really it didn't matter in the great scheme of things because none of the matches and none of the quote-unquote moments in the night until the final 10 minutes mattered. And the first time I could vote as many times as I wanted. The second time I could only vote once, and then it kept saying, well, you already cast your vote. So they may have changed the setup for the voting between the first vote and the second.
I think they have, and oh my word. Stop the presses.
What's up here?
I want both of you guys to hold on to the edges of your chairs. Just make sure you're comfortable or at least braced on something. And I'm reading directly from WWE.com. WWE has come to terms with the release of NXT first season rookie Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. Bryan Danielson.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. I was going to say, as Taz said when Matt Hardy was drafted, fuck.
Yeah, really.
Unless this is part of the whole thing, this is really screwed up.
Well, it's on WWE.com, so I don't know if WWE.com is an affiliate of Station WORK. We could see that. And let's see. Oh, here we go. I'm adding to the show and adding to the panel, ladies and gentlemen from Toledo, Ohio, Mr. Stapaway, Josh Kruger.
Set. Thanks. I'm...
Hey, man.
Oh, fuck. I am sad.
Like I said, this...
Way to be, WWE. Way to be.
Way to blow it all up all at once. You knew they'd screw this up. Didn't expect it this soon.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty much a big old nice job breaking it, hero.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm... I'm thinking to myself, either he legitimately injured Cena somehow and they overreacted, or this is just trying to be half work, half shoot. Because I can't see any other reason why.
I'm not seeing
any
thought?
We'll probably be finding out here in about a few days, but... What? I'm at a loss for words.
I'm baffled, and...
First Cabana, then Danielson. Punk's lucky as hell.
Well, for what it's worth, and of course it's not worth anything because it's on Twitter, Cena tweeted something about concussion, hip injury, blah, 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 which I took at face value, which means I didn't take it for anything.
Another portent. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, who was up?
No, give me a second. Across my Twitter earlier, one popped up that Mr. Danielson changed his Twitter from Daniel Bryan NXT back to just Bryan Danielson.
Yep.
Hmm.
However, he muddies the waters. Good for you, man. The winds of change are stirring. WORK, anybody? Is this WORK? Is this KFBE calling?
I was going to say it could be the Left Coast affiliate.
I'm not sure. Not
very
sure at all.
If this is a work, good job by whoever's in line with writing this, because it's actually compelling, something that has been sorely lacking on television for the last several months to a couple of years, something compelling storyline-wise, but, I mean, you know, another thing that kind of leads into this, I was on WrestleZone.com earlier, not going to drop names like that all the time, and they're saying this is potentially leading in, this whole getting back to the thing at large, leading to perhaps a Cena versus Wade Barrett title match at SummerSlam. So,
well,
that would be
Barrett,
interesting.
If Barrett did win NXT and he was guaranteed a title shot at a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, the belief is if that's penciled in as... they report it to be, and of course, you know, the whims of chains, you know, can go, like, high up haywire, then this could be a storyline that drags on for several months, which I say all power to it.
Because if they can manage to maintain this kind of momentum, they could take it all the way to bragging rights and or the restored Survivor Series.
Exactly. I'll be damned if Survivor Series matches Survivor Series. Who would have thunk it?
Okay. If the NXT guys are also responsible for this whole Undertaker deal, it would be awesome to put the Survivor Series match together because you know the Undertaker and Kane would have to be involved. It just can't end with Kane being the guy that did it because they're putting too much into the idea that Kane wants to find out.
That's too predictable, too. Yeah.
And they've done it more than once in recent times. Although admittedly, we are past the 7-year rule on it.
Right.
Because I'm thinking the last time they did this was Triple H regarding HBK. Did I miss one?
Mm-hmm. That seems about right to me.
So, but overall, outside of those 10 minutes, the viewer's choice night. Was a nice idea in theory. The technology is in place. I think this is what Vince really wanted with Taboo Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
Cyber Sunday. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was a couple things, you know, a couple things really jumped from the show. I'm unfortunately my brain's a little scrambled with it because I didn't get to see the show live.
Right.
So.
You saw it taped. No.
So, I saw half of it live. I came in at the tag match, and was still I was still fussing with the voter bot and trying to figure out how it works. And it's pretty much built on the same thing as the t-shirt polls that WWE.com does from time to time.
Right.
And Nikki, just a quick update. Meltzer is saying work for whatever it's worth. It's not worth much right now. Mainly
right.
Because not until we get confirmation from one side or the other will we get a clear and concise answer.
Mm-hmm. So don't completely put stock in it, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the answer now is don't panic.
Somewhere Michael Cole is yelling, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. No, but getting back to what you were saying on the viewer's choice, Nikki, need one say more than Great Khali and Hornswoggle as a tag team.
I was
going to go with
Hornswoggle myself.
Well, that. You knew they weren't going to wrestle. I mean, I would have rather seen. Okay.
But, yes, Khali Hornswoggle. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Forrest.
Yeah. I was going to say. That match was just, I didn't know what to think when I saw this match, because I'm not a big fan of either one, and seeing them together, this was something that I'm thinking this Raw is going to be a real handful, and then we get to the last 10 minutes, but this was not a great match.
No.
Mm-mm.
I think the less we dwell on this viewer's choice, the better. Technologically, very sound. Unfortunately, the rest of the show, and me being the eternal optimist, wasn't bad, but it was just completely overshadowed by the end.
Yes. Because the 18 portion...
Yeah. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
18, oh, sorry. Because the 18 portions weren't bad. They were decent, for better or worse. And also, seeing IRS and Dusty and Mean Gene all in there is like, wow. Hi there, Nostalgia. How are you?
Oh, I marked out when I saw Mean Gene come out. Come on now.
Especially since he still doesn't look pretty much a day over his WWF time.
And poking fun at Josh Matthews in the process.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
No respect.
The whole 18 stuff, I was at least glad that, like, I heard that Rampage had a good time, because I'm thinking, okay, he's USC, so odds are he's just there to fill the contract obligation of the movie, but to hear that he enjoyed himself was actually kind of good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have to take a slower news week and actually discuss the crossover about MMA and WWE or wrestling in general, because it seems like there's a lot of crossover fans as well as workers on both sides of it. I read way too many tweets from wrestlers who watch MMA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any MMA guys on my Twitter, so I don't know how much they tweet about WWE events. Oh, so. Now,
well, I mean, the wrestling to MMA thing, it has quite a history going back a few years, too, so yeah.
True. But with this rebellion, it made you think, when we've got a whole new batch of rookies coming up, you think they're going to get any ideas? This part of it was actually kind of well thought out. They brought the rookies, the new batch of rookies came out, and Tavall.
yes.
Warrior.
I'm trying to help the man out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fact that he was holding both women's championship belts, I didn't know whether to laugh or just change the channel right then. As a smart, my heart kind of sank just a little bit.
As Nikki said it best last week, who the hell did he piss off?
Really? I just want to know. Because I'm sure Tavall, you know, heard this coming and...
Yeah.
Space Mountain.
Well, no, that probably wasn't appropriate because he's got two fairly good looking women with him. Unfortunately, they're going to try to tell him how to wrestle, and
Go ahead. I'm trying to step on you. That's not right. But anyway, he's pretty much just being used as a coat rack now.
It's just going to be comedy sketches mostly with him. That's somehow what I'm just going to see.
Only question is, will they make mention to Jim Helwig at any point? Yes.
So loud, he might appear. But the whole point, they went ahead and showed all the new guys what happened. And what followed was a quick Q&A, which reminded me pretty much of, I hate to say it, but it sounded like a thread out of WrestleCraft. You know, opinions, my thoughts. And we got a good mix. Most of the guys said, that's how you make a statement.
Yes.
Henning, McGillicuddy, poor guy, actually wasn't cool with it. But, the rest of, you know, who? Somebody else dissented. Do we remember who?
I can't remember, but...
Not offhand.
I think it was a dissent, but it was also, they said, they understood why it happened.
Okay.
So, qualified dissent.
So, Matt Striker just casually steps back, and the next thing you know, the pros are beating the crap out of the new season rookies.
To teach a lesson unto them. Which was a big mistake.
That is fanning, that's what I call it fanning the flames. What do you think, Josh?
I think that it's just a big mistake, mainly because you're pretty much setting up the NXT rookies to go right after the pros by the end of the season, thus setting up possibly the NXT old guard, the heels, and the NXT new guard, the faces. Survivor Series, anyone?
That's what I'm looking for. Now, I'm going to break my own rule because somebody finally decided to call in. Normally, I was going to keep the panel to me and free, but fourth, now you will be officially fourth. I'm going to open the door here. DJ, you're late.
I fell asleep. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm sorry to force you to interrupt you.
From one Toledo one to another, should I just go ahead and get on off, DJ?
What's that?
Should I go ahead and just get off for tonight? Because, well, yeah.
I thought you were
this
already
isn't
scheduled.
My
I'm sorry.
No, you were scheduled tonight, man. So, I'll leave it to him.
Okay, Josh.
Nikki,
I really... Yes.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'll be back on sometime soon.
Absolutely. And I appreciate your understanding on this.
Right. All right. Guys, have a good night. I shall talk to you soon.
You too.
And sorry, DJ, I had to wake you up.
Somebody had to.
Good night. Good night.
Thanks much.
All right.
Okay. DJ, now that you're here, we've been discussing the most riveting 10 minutes in wrestling television history up to this point.
I thought it was very well done. I thought they did more in that 10 minutes than they did over 15 weeks to really build these guys up as legitimate threats. They kind of made them look like outsiders. So you have people who had extensive experience wrestling all over the world. Danielson, you've had guys who are seasoned in the minor leagues, so to speak, at OVW and FCW, like a Wade Barrett. And it really made him, I don't want to say buried because that's too strong of a word, but they didn't do a very good job, I thought, of building each and every one of them up. But collectively, the way that they put together the angle on Monday night, I thought it was fabulous. As Jim Ross said, it brings up more questions than answers, and that's what leads to compelling television. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to play out. I know a lot of people, their reaction would be, well, it was something cool for one night, but they're going to find some way to ruin it next week or what have you. I'm glad they held off. Talking really, I know it went in depth to it about NXT, but they didn't have any of the season one guys there. they're kind of holding off the major payoffs in the weeks to come, I think, on Raw. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a nice build. I just hope that they go somewhere with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't interrupt SmackDown, but I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but apparently there was a big mess down at FCW this week.
Yeah, there was, and for the first time in God knows how many years, it almost made The Miz become a babyface for at least one night.
And they had the gall to do it in my hometown of Melbourne, Florida.
Where's your cheap pop?
Seriously. No, I can get a cheap pop. Hang on.
Dick Foley taught you well. Very nice.
I didn't hear. What did they do?
We had a mini invasion go on down there. I don't have it in front of me. Jim, do you have it?
Let me try to punch it up very quickly. I know Brian was involved, and I think one or two other of the NXT Season 1 rookies were involved. And on the WWE side, you had The Miz, and you had Christian. Let me see. I don't want to give you misinformation here. Give me just one moment. Talk amongst yourselves.
So it's the fun part, the fact that they're crossing it over into developmental. There was speculation that FCW's name might actually get dropped on TV. I think that would freak out some of the more casual fans. They're going to say, who the heck is that?
Well, this is this FCW you speak of, yes.
Does anybody know if there were WWE cameras there?
I don't believe so, but FCW does get broadcast down in that area. I'm really gonna have to pester my folks and see if they can find it on their TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they do have a deal with Sun Sports. It might make sense just to show like still photos like they do from pay-per-views the night before, something like that, to kind of make it look like it's something of a big deal.
Right. Because I even know the facility that they were in. It's the old Melbourne Auditorium. It's on the west side of town. Normally we would go in there for indoor carnivals or very small concerts. This place is about the size of it's smaller than Harrah Arena. I mean, this is an itty bitty building. If it seats 1,500, I'd be impressed. So this kind of crossover is pretty wild. I mean, the only other time we've seen developmental mentioned, I'll go back to, I believe, the night the Spirit Squad was unofficially and unceremoniously dumped off of Raw by being stuffed in a road case with a stamp, please shift to OVW in Louisville.
Okay, I found it here.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah, all but Dykstra and Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler. But, Jim, what do you got for me?
All right, I'll try to give the capsule edition. The main event for the taping was announced to be The Miz and Daniel Bryan versus Christian and Heath Slater. Miz's music played, no one came out. Christian's music played, he came out, made fun of the music because it was from his theme 2 years ago or so. He talked about Raw, blah, 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 blah. Christian called out Heath Slater. Slater come out talking about how he started off 4-0 and everything and so on and so forth. Then in comes Daniel Bryan. He attacks Christian from behind. Then The Miz comes in afterwards together. They fight off the rookies. And he says, let's throw it down. Pros versus rookies. Christian says, hey, you want to make a statement? Go for it. Miz says, hey, they're pros. Let's do this thing. And they are awesome or something. And actually the fangirls, marked out to that. So eventually it happens, Christian and Slater start off, Miz gets in, he's actually going full-faced babyface, which is scary. Bryan gets in, who is going full Danielson heel at this point, yelling best in the world, telling the ref he has till 5, yelling at Miz, you're supposed to be the pro. Smart cheering for Mr. Dragon, as opposed to Super Dragon. Miz and Christian have the rookies ready for the finishers, and then all the Season 1 rookies show up in the ring, beat the crap out of Miz and Christian, start tearing apart the ring again. Ryan kicks Miz's head in. Slater hits the kill switch on Christian, and the rookies leave the pros in a heap in the center of what's left of the ring. So kind of a carbon copy, small-scale version in some respects of what happened just the night before.
Now, I don't see that big a problem with Miz and Christian, if only because you have to remember with the NWO attacked WCW indiscriminately, face or heel, that eventually you would have guys like Sting and Arn Anderson teaming up. So it wasn't that big a deal to me, the idea, now that I think about it.
Well, with the dust settled, to me it felt like a cross between the NWO invasions and, I know I'm going to get some cringes, but the Natural Born Thrillers from WCW.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I bring them up is the fact that NXT, we actually had all that extra time so that we knew who these guys were and we kind of knew what they could do. If Bryan Danielson can wrestle circles around anybody they throw him in the ring with, and David Otunga can only do elbow drops and shoulder blocks, because that slam he put on Cena was wretched.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. How about that? There is video.
Oh, video of the FCW stuff?
I've got video links from Mr. Josh in the chat room.
Very nice.
Awesome. I'm gonna check those out in a minute. Let me get my board back up. Or what page am I on? Here we go. So I think we've pretty much rung this sucker out.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about one more WWE thing, and then we can jump into Pick'ems.
Yes.
Is it just me, or is Fatal 4-Way being really set up to fail?
Well, considering there are only two matches announced for it so far, pretty much, yeah.
And we remember the last time. Good.
I was going to say, it's partly that, and partly that it feels like both matches are just placeholders, that at least the Raw match is meant to kind of keep a Cena-Sheamus feud going until July and an Orton-Edge feud. That match doesn't really feel like there's a whole lot going in for me, you know?
And for me, I remember the last time that you've gone this far up until a pay-per-view and only two matches were announced, or one match was announced, and we can all remember how that ended up, and that was the December to Dismember. I won't even call it an ECW pay-per-view, because that's a disgrace to that name, but everybody remembers that, I'm sure.
December to Disaster. So, you know, it's making me a little bit nervous, because the funny thing about it, though, is they've done such a good job of distracting everybody from that idea. Or am I the one who's having the blonde moment? Because I didn't even think about it until Bob mentioned it to me the other night. And I went and looked, and sure as anything, there it is. I'm like, okay.
It's like the pay-per-view at this point is an afterthought, really. I mean, it's like, after Bret Hart ballyhooed about this being revolutionary, which we all, of course, know it isn't, it's like, they don't even care about what happens, and they're just going to fill in 2.5 hours for whatever. In other words, they're doing their best impersonation of TNA booking a pay-per-view. Oops, did I go there?
I mean, where do they think the buys are going to come from? I mean, do they think that just because you have two Fatal 4-Way matches at eight top stars, is enough to sell it? I wouldn't think so, because it's only two matches.
And the fact that, that some of their other big, we've also got the problem with Orton being banged up, and I still haven't heard 100%. Is his shoulder dislocated, separated, just overall fucked up? What's going on? Actually, DJ, you're the Orton fan. What do you know?
I don't know much. Right now I am parked outside of his house, but I don't have my binoculars up and ready. I'll let you know more later on as the evening progresses. How's that?
So, whether Cena's legit banged up or not, you know, he's not, you know, he's not going to be able to go. The fact you've got so many people on the shelf, the fact that, you know, Undertaker has been, Undertaker, no matter what you think of him, he still draws.
And Mickey, if I may for a second, I think I'd be much more excited about the pay-per-view if they had Fatal 4. I mean, I don't know if it could work that way, but they'd certainly have enough people on the roster. If they had Fatal 4-ways up and down the card for the championships, you could do like a U.S. title with, say, Miz, Morrison, Truth, and DiBiase or something, or Jericho. You could do one for the Intercontinental title with McIntyre and Hardy and Kofi and junk. So I don't know if that would be feasible enough, but even that would make me more excited about the card.
It's something that they're going to have to whip up real quick, and I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping that somebody realizes, oops, you know, we need to do something about that.
Post-haste.
Yes, very post-haste. But since we are talking about pay-per-views, we need to talk about this big mess called Slammiversary. Slammiversary 8. And as mentioned on TNA programming, Jeff Jarrett, due to a severe shoulder injury, will not be attending or just not participating. So he's not even going to be there per his promo. So this will be the first year he isn't there. Tears are shed.
Teardrops on my broken guitar.
Yeah. We'll set a song on a tiny violin. I'm sorry, Forrest.
I was going to say about the predictions, I haven't been able to watch TNA in a couple of weeks, so I'm basically going to be going in blind as far as the predictions go.
Oh, don't worry. If you've listened to this show in the past, I go in blind all the time on TNA. It's okay.
Well, then I think you're probably a smarter man than I am, because I'm probably going to be diving back in next Thursday.
So let me set this up real quick, and I'll pull up the card and chat room. I know you guys can hear me. Go ahead and put in your predictions as I talk to the guys up here. So let me go up and down the card. Whether you're planning on actually dropping the money for this or procuring it through other and nefarious means,
which we don't condone.
Huh?
Which we don't condone officially, thank you.
No, we don't. But we understand.
Yes. So, yes.
Let's see. I'll just start from the bottom of their list and work our way up. Let's see. Brother Ray from T3D versus Jesse Neal from Ink Inc. According to the show, there's apparently a great big beef going on. Brother Ray thinks Jesse's too big for his britches. Devon's been trying to play peacekeeper, but pretty much gave up on Thursday. So let's take it a quick roll around the table, Jim. Who do you think's going to walk away with this one?
I'm going to go Jesse Neal on this.
Okay, DJ, what do you think?
Vince Russo swerve of the night. Devon attacks Ray, and Jesse Neal wins.
Okay, Forrest, what do you got?
I'm not sure if this is going to be a sweep, but I will think that Jesse Neal will pull off an upset.
I think this would be really good for Jesse. I think he needs it. And best of luck to him. I mean, he's got an awesome look. I haven't gotten to see him wrestle much. So let's see. Okay, let me get this back in here, and I'm getting a sweep from the room too.
Okay.
You sorry. I am multitasking. I will be with you guys in just a moment. Come on, Carl. Give me an answer.
Phenomena. Do-do-do-do. Phenomena. Do-do-do-do.
Well, I'll get back to it. Monsters Ball. Desmond Wolfe versus Abyss with Chelsea in tow. Now, I understand Abyss won Chelsea. Is that the story? Then again,
something
I don't think anybody here wants to see
something akin to that, yeah.
Okay.
Or Toker, I'm not sure which.
So, anyway, so she's been stuck with the monster and is supposed to go back to Desmond Wolfe, I think, at or after, or right after this pay-per-view. So, Jim, what do you think?
Tempted as I may be, I'm going to go with Abyss, just for the hay of it.
EJ?
Abyss is on his way down the card. Desmond Wolfe is in the Flair stable. He's on his way up. I'm going to take Desmond Wolfe.
I think in a minor swerve, Desmond Wolfe is going to win, but Chelsea's going to feel sorry for Abyss.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like that.
Actually, I'm kind of with Forth on that. I like that. Wolf's going to win the match, but he's going to lose the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And Josh calls Abyss. So calls Wolf. You know what they say if you cry wolf too many times. Let's see.
You're dating Ben Roethlisberger?
I wasn't going to say anything. Let's see.
I will say he should thank God that Lawrence Taylor had a bigger scandal that week. Otherwise.
Oh, man.
Do I have a sound for that?
I hope you do. Anyway.
Oh, my.
That works.
So, let's see. Next on the list. Blueprint Matt Morgan versus Hernandez. Hernandez is back in the neighborhood, and he looks great, and he must be pissed. And I dig a good power match like that. So, Jim, what you got?
Well, on that account, I'd say Hernandez is.
I can't spell it that way. DJ?
Morgan's had a lot of big losses lately. I think he needs to get his heat back. I think he'll win, Matt Morgan.
All righty. Fourth?
I get the feeling the tradition of returning wrestler gets the win. I'm going with Hernandez.
Let's see. I think I'm going to make this my Russo swerve match.
Mm-hmm.
And Morgan's going to take it, but he's not going to be on top of this for long. Hernandez is going to kill him down the line. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Hernandez coming in from Josh calls Hernandez. Tycho calls Hernandez. All right. Let's see. I've got too many windows open. Kurt Angle faces the number 10 contender, Frankie Future, Kazarian. Now, Kazarian just got the boot from AJ. And I got to admit, that opening segment Thursday night was awesome. So, I was digging all that, and this is from somebody who, as you know, has dogged TNA for months and months and months on this very show.
Yes.
So, Kurt Angle wants to break into the top 10. Can he do it, Jim?
Not only can he do it, he will do it. He will win. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yeah.
Let's see. Get my place back. DJ, do you agree?
Okay, cool.
That's a stupid question to DJ.
Me?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Kurt Angle gives respect to his opponents, and he gets respect from them by working up the chain. He beats Kazarian. Kurt Angle.
Okay. Fourth, you agree with that?
I agree. It's not going to be that one-sided, but I definitely think in the end, Angle will have his arm raised in victory.
Okay, and that's what I'm getting from the chat room. So that is a sweep, ladies and gentlemen.
Break out the brooms.
Break out the brooms, because I agree, Angle is just too darn good to not be in their top ten.
Mm-hmm.
Up the card we go. Mr. Anderson, and Jeff Hardy will be facing off against Beer Money. Now, Mr. Anderson, has made a rather astute observation a few years ago where he says it's amazing what gets over.
Yes.
Having 2,000 people complimentarily, if that's a word, calling you an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it with smiles on their faces. It's just, you know, it blows my mind, but when he said that at Bagel's Reception B. Carter's at WrestleMania 22, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So what can the Green Bay Loudmouth and the Charismatic Enigma do against one of the most established and most well-known tag teams in TNA? Jim?
They can lose to them. I'm going with Beer Money because I smell some sort of interference somehow in the match.
DJ, do you agree?
I do not agree. I see Mr. Anderson and Jeff Hardy winning the match, but there will be some uneasy moments, some points where they don't know if they can trust each other, and after they win, there will be a long, hard look both ways, and it'll continue their little program.
How about you, Ford?
Jeff Hardy's going to need stitches for the knife marks in his back. I think Anderson's going to turn on him, and Beer Money gets the win.
Let's see. I'm just in the door on this one, so we've got a little ways to go on this. I'm gonna say Beer Money wins due to shenanigans and just the fact that Anderson and Hardy are just starting to work together. So this feud ain't over. Let's see. Okay, Typho calls Beer Money. And Josh calls Anderson Hardy. Okay. Mm-hmm. As I said, multitasking is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
The phenomenal AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal has impressed me once again with his awesome, awesome, and awesome Ric Flair impersonation this past Thursday night.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Lethal, this is for you.
Very well, very well.
Very deserved. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it, close your eyes and listen. So, with these two squaring off, what do we got, Jim? What do you think?
I'm going to pull the upset card. I'm going to say Lethal gets the Duke on Styles, who's been, you know, kind of, you know, decimated by not having a player by his side.
For me, DJ.
Abyss has the 2010 version of Hulk Hogan lost to AJ Styles, and Jay Lethal has the 2010 version of Ric Flair will meet the same fate. So I'm going AJ Styles.
All righty. Fourth.
I think that Jay Lethal is definitely going to win because of some sort of botched interference.
Okay, Typho called AJ. And Josh called AJ with lots of Flair interference. I find it interesting that Flair sent AJ home and then AJ didn't have Flair with him this week. I'm calling Lethal because AJ has no backup.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Oh my God, belt matches. Anyway, Knockouts title match. Roxy LaVeau against champion Ashley Lane. I mean, Madison Rain. Sorry. I know her from Shimmer.
Sabbath, I understand.
So, any takers? Jim, what do you think?
I'll go with Madison Rain to retain.
DJ?
I think Madison Rain is due to lose the belt, but it's not going to be to Roxy, so I'm going to say Madison Rain.
Okay, Fourth, you agree?
I agree. Madison Rain.
Okay, it looks like we're going to have a sweep here. I'm seeing Typo says Madison Rain, and Josh's answer is the one from Dayton.
You'd want to say more.
I know what he meant.
I know. I didn't know. But yes.
Actually, the only reason I know that is I've seen her travel with Irish Airborne, who also live in Dayton. So
and there you go.
I will give her the benefit of the doubt. I think she should retain as well. Let's see. X Division title match. The mysterious Brian Kendrick versus Douglas Williams. Apparently, Kendrick is on something other than his recreationals, given the creepy promo I saw on Thursday. Jim, do you think that X title bound?
Douglas Williams wins. That's my simple answer.
Okay. DDA?
I'll go Brian Kendrick, just for kicks.
Fourth, what do you
think? Shiggles.
I'm going with Kendrick.
Okay, and let's see. All right, Josh is calling Williams. So it's Typho. I like Williams in this myself.
Just to add a point, Nikki, it'll be USA over Great Britain, over England, just like it will be tomorrow in the World Cup. USA, USA.
Ole, 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 ole.
Wait a minute. All right. And then we finally get to the very, very tippy top of the card, Mr. TNA, Rob Van Dam, defending his TNA title despite the fact that Sting walked away with it. That's definitely pay-per-view. That's pay-per-view worthy. I accept. But how competitive, and what is this deception thing that the Icon is babbling about, Jim?
Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I think in the Russo swerve of the night, Sting wins.
DJ?
Don't ask me why, it's just a hunch.
Sting has been in limbo so much with the company that I don't know if they want to put the belt on him. So I'll say it'll be High Times at Slammiversary in Orlando Sunday night, RVD.
Can do. Let's see. Fourth?
Well, I got two things I want to say. First, I actually saw what that belt looked like, and I actually thought it was kind of cool looking. And also, I think it's going to be Rob Van Dam for the reasons that we just heard, that they're uncertain with Sting. They're probably not going to want to put it on him.
Okay. And I will throw in my two cents. I think Rob's pulling in a lot more eyes to televisions right now than Sting is, so I'm going to say RVD retains. So
I hope you're right.
I hope so, too. Now, in our last minute, in two words or less, what do you think the surprise is, Jim?
Don't care.
DJ, what do you think the surprise is?
I have no clue, but...
That's more than two words, man.
psycho lesbian.
All right.
Two words. Vince McMahon.
That's a winner.
I can't do that. But with that last 5 seconds, the North American Wrestling Connection is over. Good night, guys.
Night.
Well, we could play in the archive.
Yes.
But there's not much to say here.
No, I got nothing. I didn't know. Nothing.
No, that's cool.
I didn't know.
I'll make it quick then. Thank you so much, guys. And fourth, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
You did fun. Nice working with you, sir.
Thank you. I'll see you guys either next week or 2 weeks, whenever I'll be on again, but I'll see you then.
It's going to be set up as a rotation for us. I pick 3 people, and I'm going to do my best to keep it even that everybody at least gets 1 shot a month. So everybody will be back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Guys, I got to call it a night. I've got an early workout tomorrow and my overtime.
All right.
Gotcha. All right, take it easy, folks. Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you so much. And DJ, thanks for coming by. I'm sorry you were late.
I apologize myself, but I will hope to be on time next time.
Well, like it's gonna be down the line. Like I said, I've got the list put aside, and then I'm just gonna keep picking 3 names as we go along.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to do it because I know I can't do it every week, so the times when I will be able to do it, it'll be that much more fun, I think.
Yeah. And at some point, I need to catch up with you so that we can scheme for the house show weekend.
That's one thing I needed to tell you real quick. I don't think I'm going to Youngstown because they're doing an indie show here in Wheeling, and Steve Carino is going to be down here in Wheeling, and I haven't gotten him yet. So I'm going to try to get him, I guess, that day in Wheeling before I head to Pittsburgh and then back to Salem and then back to Wheeling. So that's my cycle for that weekend, I guess.
Okay. I'm going to hit Youngstown. I'm going to try to find a cheap hotel in Salem. Ring me up Sunday morning so that we can meet because I don't have Brett. Do you?
I do not have Brett, nor do I have Sonny. So I'm going to try to get there really early and then be one of the first people in line, get out of there so I can – hit the backstage area in Wheeling since it's a 5:00 start.
Ooh, that's true. So, definitely. We'll make this work.
Yes.
So, let me let you go. Whoops. I just got kicked off, I think. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Hey. The switchboard just kicked us all off. But apparently I'm still connected.
No, I think it's, for some reason, it just does that when in archives.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thanks again. Seriously, I really like the way the show is shaping up. And I will definitely be in touch. Fourth, thanks for contacting me on Facebook. I'm going to get, you'll see the emails every week where I pick out who's coming in.
Cool.
Good night, everybody. I'm going to watch Dexter.
DJ, you do that. Fourth, have a good night.
You too. I'll see you.
All righty.